We're calling the series Just a Closer Walk. Anybody remember the song? Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Well, you know, we used to sing about having a closer walk with him. We used to sing songs about, you know, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. But we don't sing about what it means to walk with him as much anymore. Are you hearing me? So since we don't sing about it, we're going to talk about it. Okay? Just a closer walk. Our theme for today. Next slide, please. Galatians 5:16-18. But I say, this is the scripture for the series. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you what? You may not do the things that you please. Ooh, that's a powerful statement. Next. But if you are what? Led by the Spirit, you are what? Not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Somebody say amen. So today, our lesson is titled, Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. There are several things that are being taught now, and I have to keep reiterating them so that you'll understand that we stand emphatically with Christ, and we stand against things that even sound good, but they don't have scriptural basis. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things that are being taught in churches that they sound good, but if you examine the Word of God, there is no scriptural basis for that particular teaching, that particular thing. Okay? One of the things that are being taught right now is that, first of all, everybody is a child of God. Everybody's a child of God. Well, we know that that's not true because Jesus, during his time here on earth, told a group of religious leaders, he said, you're just like your father, the devil. That's what he told them. Proving emphatically that everybody's not a child of God. Are you hearing me? One of the other things that's being taught is that because of grace, because we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because Jesus shed his precious blood, it doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter how our thought life goes. The only thing that matters is that I believe Jesus, and that's enough. I've accepted Jesus, and that's enough. And I want to submit to you that the Bible does not agree with our modern theology. Our modern theology is out of step with the book that we say our faith is based on. Can somebody help me? Point number one. Walking in the Spirit is not a license to sin. Walking in the Spirit is not a license to sin. Guess what? God cares about everything that concerns you. He cares about how you live your life. He cares about how you think and how you deal with the cares of life. He cares about anything that's going to affect you, and especially if it's going to affect how you see him. We don't understand that we deal with stuff every day that affects how we see him. One of the things that when God made this clear to me that it was important that it was important how I viewed life and how I viewed things, that it was so important that it would affect how I saw him, it affected how I fathered my children. Because I recognized that as their father, I was to be the example of God to them. I was to love them the way God loved them. I was to care for them the way God cared for them. I was to answer them the way God answers them. Are you hearing me? Because it was important that they understood this is the relationship God wants with you. He's not trying to beat you up, but he does have an expectation for you. He does have an expectation. Just this is my daughter sitting right here for those of you who don't know. I have expectations of her. I've had those expectations since she was born. And I would sit and talk with her to make sure she was understanding what the expectations were. Sometimes when my kids would get involved in things that were not their best, I would just sit them down and say, do you understand that you're a Spencer? Do you understand that as a Spencer, this kind of behavior is beneath you? This is not what we do. And you will not conduct yourself this way and bear the name Spencer. Well, now I want you to hear what I'm saying, okay? Because the same way I sat them down is how God wants to sit us down. He tells us, this what you just did, this is beneath you. You can't bear the name Jesus and conduct yourself this way. This is not your best right now. Now, this kind of preaching doesn't grow your church big, and it doesn't make people happy, and it doesn't make them jump up and down, because when you start talking about responsibility and you start talking about accountability, people get totally uneasy. This is why you got women with children but can't get a man to stay with them, because the problem is not always the woman. The problem is we have a generation of irresponsible men who want the pleasure of a woman but don't want the responsibility for the woman or the children that they make. And so the Bible is full of laying out how we are to be responsible and how we are to be accountable. Are you hearing me? Watch this scripture. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, most people, they quote that scripture and they stop right there. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. I'm free. I'm free. Freedom. I'm free. Don't you dare try to tell me I can't do what I want to do. I'm free. And I keep telling y'all that freedom without boundaries, you ain't free, you're loose. If I've got, I was riding down, I can't remember what road it was, but I was riding down this road, and there was a pasture. And in the pasture, there were cows. And there was this nice, beautiful fence that was designed to keep the cows in the pasture. Well, one of the cows got outside the pasture. Guess what I realized real quick? That cow wasn't free. The cow was loose. Because the cow was going to walk into traffic and create a real problem. Are you hearing me? Well, God has designed that he builds these boundaries for us called, the Bible says, he leadeth me into the what? Green pasture. It's his boundaries. We're free within his boundaries. So it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not what? Be subject again to what? Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What is he saying? He's saying, yes, you've been set free, but don't you dare go pick that junk up again. So now, how is it that here we are, some 2,000, almost 3,000 years after the death of Christ, and we have this theology that I've been set free, but I was set free to go out and do more wrong? It makes no sense. It's totally, now listen, we're not talking about, the Bible says this, the Bible says to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody in this room is working out their salvation. Everybody in this room, if you've accepted Jesus, guess what? You're in the process of perfection. Let me give you some detailed stuff. The Bible says God is what? The Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? All right. So now, if God is spirit and I'm made in his image, what am I? I'm spirit. I am a spirit being having a human experience. So So my spirit, when I accepted Jesus, got as saved as it's ever going to get. My spirit can't get no more saved. My spirit is perfected and ready to go to heaven. My soul, on the other hand, got some issues. My soul, on the other hand, got some problems. Now, David said, he restoreth my, so what is the soul? The soul is the intellect, what you think, the emotions, what you feel, the desires, what you want. That's in constant restoration. Because my soul was so jacked up in sin, guess what? Sometimes I find myself wanting stuff I ain't got no business wanting. My soul is being saved. Everybody get that? Okay. So we're not talking about, you know, well, how he sounds like he's saying everybody got to be perfect. I'm saying that your spirit has been perfected, and as your spirit is perfected, so you should walk out that perfection. But that's the fight. That's why he said the spirit and the flesh war against one another. Isn't that what the scripture just said? Okay, watch this. Next. Galatians 5:16-17. Watch this. But I say, walk by the what? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not what? Carry out the desire of. So the first problem is you're not walking by the Spirit. That walking by the Spirit restricts you. Walking by the Spirit restricts you. Who in here has ever had a dog? Anybody had a dog? Okay, my dad trained dogs. Now my baby brother trains dogs. My dad would tell you most people shouldn't have dogs. He said because they don't know how to control a dog. My dad had his dog so trained that when he had the dog on the dog would never leave his side. No matter what he did, the leash had all this slack in it, the dog would never leave his side. He said, I'm going to show you something. He said, watch this. He took the leash off of the dog and started walking. And the dog right there by his side, never moved. No matter what happened, the dog wouldn't move. He said, see, this is what it means to have the animal really trained so that they know what they're supposed to do. Well, guess what? The job of the Holy Spirit is to train you so that you know what you're supposed to do. So when he's talking about walking in spirit, when you first start walking in spirit, you need a leash. Because every time something runs in front of you that you think you want, you and the Holy Spirit got to, whoop, you can't go over there. You can't have that. Don't do that. You need that leash. Some of us need a leash with a choker. But eventually, with enough time, that training starts to set in and it starts to formulate in you so that you have more of the character of Christ. And it becomes easier to walk by things that used to tempt you. It becomes easier to walk past things that used to bother you. All right? That's what he means to say. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Next. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one another so that you may not, this is what I want you to see, you may not do the things that you can't, listen, if you didn't know before you walked in here, let me clarify for you. Once you accept Jesus, according to Paul, if don't get mad at Everett, get mad at Paul. Paul is the one who said it. You got a problem with it, go find Paul and cuss him out. Don't come trying to cuss me out. So that you may not do the things that you please. You can't do everything you want to do. You can't fly off the handle just because you feel like it'll make you feel better. You can't tell people off just because it'll make you feel better. Because if we could, I got some folks, I would actually pay y'all to tell off for me. Next. Walking in the Spirit is not legalism. Walking in the Spirit is not legalism. So we have one extreme. Where, you know, people say, it doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you go, as long as you've confessed Jesus, it's okay. He understands your heart. Jesus knows your heart. Let me tell you what he said about your heart. The Bible says the heart of a man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So Jesus said, you don't even know the depths of your heart. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is y'all Holy Ghost fire marshals, y'all heaven's rangers, y'all heavenly Justice League. It's your job to keep everybody in check. And all you got is a bunch of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do, if you you shouldn't, a child, you're going to miss heaven messing around doing that kind of foolishness. When I grew up in a church, they told the women they couldn't wear makeup. Told them makeup was going to send them to hell. Told them they couldn't wear jewelry. Told them jewelry's going to send them to hell. Told them they couldn't wear pants. Pants were going to send them to hell. Let me just tell y'all for the record, these were some of the ugliest women I ever saw in my life. I don't know if they was on the way to heaven, but they sure didn't look good on the trip. I'm just telling you. Ain't nothing wrong with little makeup. Little makeup helps. You hear me? I'm telling you. Look, y'all get mad at me if you want to. If it wasn't true, the makeup industry wouldn't be selling as much makeup as they sell. Get mad at me. Get mad at Max Factor. Galatians 5:18, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not what? You're not under the law. So what he's telling us here is that there has to be this balance that you strike between liberty and law. There has to be this balance that you strike. Now understand this, that because I don't live under the law, Paul says this, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. Paul says, hold on a second, I think I saved it for you. 1 Corinthians 6, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So what's Paul saying? He said, it ain't that I can't do. It ain't that I can't go. It ain't that, he said, I just understand it's not in my best interest. See, mature people don't have to be told, don't do that. Mature people already know, that ain't going to work. See, it's kids that have to test everything. Y'all, anybody ever been young? I know, like for me, it was yesterday. I was young yesterday. But I know for some of y'all, it's been a while. But I remember what it was like to be young. And thought I knew everything. And made a lot of mistakes. Did a lot of stupid stuff. Guess what? I learned obedience through the things I suffered. But you're not, you know, so we're not under the law. So what is God telling us? If he tells us on one hand, don't abuse our liberty, he's telling us on the other hand, but this is not a law. I'm not giving you a new law. Y'all understand how all this law stuff came to be? That when man was created, God gave him one law. Did y'all know that? When man was created, God only gave him one law. That one law said, of all the trees in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree in the midst of the garden you shall not eat. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So the law told him what not to do. Told them what to do, what not to do, and the consequences for doing what you're not supposed to do. It's a good law. It covers all the bases. Right? Man couldn't handle that. He messed that up. So God said, well, let me give him 10. Let me see if I give him 10. Maybe 10 will help him out. So he sends a guy named Moses, gives him 10 laws. Man can't do that either. So over the years, different priests kept coming and making new laws. By the time Jesus came, the Jews were trying to live up to like 6,000 laws. That's why Paul said, you couldn't fulfill the law if you wanted to. There's too much. So God is saying, don't think you're under the law. But understand that the job of the Holy Spirit is to put boundaries on you so that it restricts you from things that will destroy you. Are you hearing me? Next. What is that? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a what? New covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, but the Spirit gives life. So he's telling us, God didn't save you to give you a bunch of new laws. He didn't save you to give you a bunch of new rituals. He saved you so that you can enjoy your life. And the things that he's put in place is designed for you to be able to enjoy your life. For you to have life and have it more abundantly. For you to be able to say, I'm living in the fun zone. I'm having a good time. I tell people, how are you? You know, they being polite. How are you? I usually tell them, if I was doing any better, there'd have to be two of me just so I could stand it. Because that's how good my life is. I love life. I love what God has provided for me. Do I have days where I don't feel 100%? Yeah, I have them. But guess what? I always know somebody's got it worse than me. It could be worse. If you wake up and your name is in the obituary column, you've had a bad day. Next. Romans 7:5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. What is Paul talking about here? Have you ever noticed the more you tell people they can't do something, the more they won't do it? Have you ever noticed the moment you tell somebody, don't do that, that's the exact thing they do? And then you try to be nice, you go to them, it really bothers me when you do that, and they do it even more. Because there is something in us that the more law or the more restriction is put on us, the more we want to do what we ain't supposed to do. I'll give you a prime example. Many of you know I went to the White House this week. As we were walking in, the people at the gate were taking down our information, checking us off to make sure we were who we said we were. And so I asked one of the Secret Service guys, I said, are we allowed to take pictures? He said, yes, sir. He said, take as many pictures as you want. He said it loud so everybody can hear. Take as many pictures as you want. He said, but we ask that you not take any video. We hadn't in the room 5 minutes. Folks had their videos just a rolling. The moment you say you can't, that's exactly what they want to do. This is what Paul is talking about, what the law did. He said, because the law kept telling us, don't. He said, it aroused in us the passion to break the law. Are you hearing me? All right. Next. Walking in the Spirit is not passive. One of the other lies that is being permeated throughout Christendom is that because we're saved, we're supposed to just, you know, well, just go along to get along, and you know, these things are going to happen. I know things are happening in society that makes us unhappy, but the Bible says that in the end times, these things would happen. Do you want to know why the Bible says in the end times, these things would happen? It's not saying that it is God's perfect will that these things happen. It is saying that the church would be so passive and so apathetic that they would allow these things to happen. That's literally what all the end time prophecy is saying. That there is coming a time when the church will not stand up and be the church. She will not stand up and declare righteousness. She will not do what God has designed her to do. And as a result of the church not being the church, sin will abound. Because the church decided to be passive. Scripture. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So here's what he's saying: that Jesus had a very active love for us. Jesus had a very demanding, commanding love for us. He didn't just go, well, I love you, but I don't know what y'all going to do about your sin problem. I love you, but maybe God will send somebody to help y'all, because it's clear to me y'all need help. Nuh-uh. Jesus loved us enough to get involved. He was active. Are you hearing me? And so walking with this Holy Spirit means that you're going to be active. You're going to be looking for ways to demonstrate God's power. You're going to be looking for ways to demonstrate God's love. You're going to be looking for ways to demonstrate who God is to a lost and dying world. Somebody say amen. Next. Walking in the Spirit is not running. Walking, somebody say walking, is different than running. Walking is different than running. Walking in the Spirit is not running. And sometimes I think what happens as we walk with God, we want everything to move in our time. We are the instant gratification generation. We want everything now. We don't want to hear nothing about no song talking about he's an on time God. Yes, he, we don't want to hear that. Especially that part where it's like, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. He's an on time God. Yeah, man, if he can't come when I want him, then why do I want him at all? Because we're the instant gratification generation. I was talking to a maintenance guy one day of an apartment complex. And he said something funny to me. He said, man, you know, I go in and out these apartments all the time. I said, yeah. He said, you know, I go in most of these apartments. And he said, I can tell if there's nobody home. He said, I can tell by the apartment whether the person is 30, 35 and under or whether they're 35 and over. I said, how's that? He said, because when I go in the apartment and they're 35 and under, the stove is just somewhere to stack stuff, to put stuff. He said, they ain't using that thing to cook nothing. He said, but the microwave getting plenty of action. He said, they're the instant gratification generation. And so we have become the instant gratification generation. We want everything now. Everything at, you know, 4G, what, now we got 5G. They got, the internet I have, I got like 300 megabytes per second. Now they're talking about they got 1 gig. Before you can blink, that thing's download. Oof. We want everything right now. Watch the scripture. But if it was by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it was by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Now running is work. Running is stressful. You can casually walk. I don't know anybody who casually runs. Are you hearing me? So running represents being active and working. Are you hearing me? And so what we're trying to get you to see is that when we say walking with the Spirit is not running, we're saying walking with the Spirit is not about works. It's not about what you can do. It's all about what He does and already has done. Now, there has to be this partnership. I tell people all the time, there's a lot of people who want to preach the gospel. There are very few people who want to do the work of the gospel. Because the work of the gospel is hard work. Trust me when I tell you, it's hard work. And so when you start getting involved with people's lives and trying to help them, and we came here early this morning, my wife and I, and we start setting up, we set up everything, and now we got people that come and help us. We're so grateful to see somebody come and help us. Y'all just don't know. It's like angels walking in here when people show up to help us. But it's the work of the ministry. Well, guess what I understand? God's not going to move in here because I did some work. God's going to move in here because I'm trusting Him to move. I'm obeying what He told me to do. I'm being consistent in what He gave me to do to the best of my ability. Are you hearing me? Let's see what we got. One more thing. Next. What is that? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our what? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So God didn't do anything for us based on our works. There's nothing I can do to qualify for God. There's nothing I can do. I tell people all the time, God qualifies the called. He seldom calls the qualified. What does that mean? That God's going to qualify you. You can go through all the schooling you want. That ain't going to qualify you for ministry. Until God qualifies you, you're not qualified. There's nothing you can do. I'm telling you, Paul was one of the most educated men of his time. He called his education, literally, he called it dung. Crap. And he told us, he said, this is not qualification for ministry. So it's not your works that get it done, gets it done. And it's not your works that get God's to move. Last one. Walking in the Spirit is resting. Walking in the Spirit is resting. Jesus says something very, very astute, profound, John. He said, except a grain of wheat die, it abideth alone. What he was talking about is that there has to come a place of rest. There has to be a time when you just rest. He said it this way in Matthew. I think it's Matthew 28, scripture. Matthew 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will what? I might, if you're good, if you do what I think, if you act on your own. No, he said, just come to me, and I'll become the source of your rest. So learning to rest in him becomes the key element for your success in life. Learning to trust him becomes the key source of your life in him. That he's got it all under control. He really does have my best interest at heart. That even though it looks like things aren't working in my favor, it just looks that way to me. It might look that way to you, but it's not looking that way to him. I'm resting in him. I'm trusting him with the outcome. That's what it means to rest in him. Because, see, here's how you can tell when people aren't trusting him with the outcome. They start trying to manipulate the outcome. They start trying to make it happen. God's taking too long. Let me go ahead and handle this. Let me tell you something about God. Anybody ever heard the expression, Jesus take the wheel? You know, people usually holler, Jesus take the wheel, after they done started running. They know the car about to run into a ditch. You know, I'm about to crash this plane. I probably should get somebody with more experience to fly it. But one of the things you have to understand about God is that if you want control of your life, he will gladly give you the wheel. And he will sit there with you while you go through disaster after disaster and not feel any prompting to do anything about it. I know that doesn't sound like a God that loves you, does it? But he loves you enough to allow you to violate his will. That's how much he loves you. He loves you enough. Oh, you want to do this your way? Cool. Well, no. I just want to do this part my way. No, that's not how it works. Either you're going to do it all the way I want it done, or you're going to do it all your way. So since you want to do it your way, here's how I know. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. God has done that to me. And I end up in a mess, and I'm over there crying. Lord, how did this happen? How did I end up here? I don't understand why you let this happen to me. And God says, let's roll that beautiful bean footage. Remember when I was telling you to go left and you decided to go right? No. Remember, I even put the left blinker on for you, and you still went right. Yes, sir. Okay, well, that's where you got on your own. And I went ahead and let you try it. Learning to rest in him is about understanding he has my best interest at heart. He's always working things in my favor. The Bible doesn't say some things work together. It says all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if you're trying to live your life as a part of his will, trust me when I tell you, he's got your best interest at heart. Somebody give God a hand praise. Hallelujah to Jesus. Listen, if you would please bow your heads and close your eyes. We want to pray with you. We want to give someone the opportunity to accept Jesus, if that's what they like to do.